Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. All this week, we're dedicating our broadcast to Bishop and Faith Oyedepo and their great family.
Yes.
And this marvelous example of what the word of faith will do right out in the middle of a jungle.
It's inspiring.
I mean, back years ago, Bishop got hold of the word of faith, reading after us and listening to us. And then he took our two books on the laws of prosperity and God's will is prosperity that you wrote. Mm-hmm. And he said, I understand healing and so forth, but I don't understand the prosperity part of it. So he fasted for several days and set himself aside. And it was while he was reading his book. In fact, I talked to him a little bit more about it a few days ago while we were there. And he said that he realized in reading your book that prosperity was a covenant. Well, every promise in the Word of God, all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen.
That's right.
Because all of them are blood covenant-based promises. And here's what he said to me. And I've been saying it ever since. He said, I have a covenant with Jesus. He said, if I will seek first His kingdom.
Yes, that's right.
And His righteousness, and His way of doing it, I will add all these things to you. And he said, I never worried about it again.
Praise God.
Well, he certainly added it all to him.
They
just kept running out of space and running out of space and running out of space, and they wound up, they bought 500 acres out in the bush, which was way out of town, away from anybody. And they started with 500. When we first went there in 2008, it was 2,000 acres. Now it's over 10,000 acres. And the Sunday that we were there, a few weeks ago, I preached the first two services. The total count for the Sunday attendance was 394,000 people on the Sunday.
And they have big screens outside.
Oh, yeah.
Huge screens.
Now, it is just marvelous. It is so wonderful that this
There
happened.
Was 100,000 outside, wasn't there, that day that we were there?
The first two services, there were 37,000 in the overflow outside. In the first service, it was just raining, and they were still out there. Now, I don't know how many were in the overflow after that. I think they do five services.
Yeah.
And this thing normally it seats 50,000, but in overflow conditions it seats 54,000, which is that way all the time now.
Awesome.
But the important thing that I wanted to mention to you is this. This worked in one of the poorest places on earth.
Yes.
And he began to preach prosperity to these people. And they began to believe it. Now, some have called this the new Nigerian middle class. And it just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. They did it with no debt.
Yeah.
They did it with no American money. They did it without ever raising money or any kind of drives for money. I've watched him receive the offering. I mean, he just does like we do. He just reads scripture and gives everybody the opportunity and preaches faith concerning money. And they sow, and it just multiplies all over the place. It is a miracle of
it
God.
Is.
But the important thing is the word works anywhere, anytime, yeah. Anybody puts it to work in faith.
That would have been in one of the poorest, if not the poorest part of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendously well.
And it's changing that nation, too.
Yeah. And the people are prospering.
Oh, that's why there's so many people coming.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you and we praise
you
today,
Lord,
for this broadcast.
We honor you for
this word that's coming out of our hearts, from your heart, going into the people. Faith cometh.
Praise
and
God.
The same thing is happening all over the world as people receive, hear, and do your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Being a doer of the word. And we give you praise for
God.
It. And we thank you for it in the wonderful, matchless, mighty, powerful name of Jesus, whose we are and whom we serve.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go back to Romans chapter 14 and let's read our foundation scripture from in the study this week. Verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And we've talked about the fact that sin is an act that connects you to the devil and gets you out of God's reach. Now, people don't realize that worrying puts you out of God's reach. That you may be praying and doing all that, but you're worrying at the same time. No. You remember we talked about Jairus yesterday and the day before. In fact, I want to read that statement again. When the death messenger came and told Jairus that his daughter was dead, Jesus answered and said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. This man just got through being told his daughter's dead.
Yeah.
Now, the important thing is here to know, we know, Gloria, that he did it because his daughter was raised up. She was made whole.
Those two words say a whole lot. Believe only.
Believe only. Hmm. You remember some years ago the word of the Lord came to me. It was during the time right after 9/11 when the mandate came to you and me to strip the body of Christ of fear, the Lord said. Mm-hmm. And I was reading this, preparing to preach it, and the word of the Lord came to me. I mean, Gloria, it was so strong. I mean, you just reverberates in your insides, a word like that does. And he said, fear tolerated
is faith
contaminated.
Amen.
Whoa.
Fear tolerated.
You try to mix fear and faith, it'll contaminate your faith.
Yeah, that's right.
And now, let's go back over here now and let's continue talking about this.
That's like adding water to gasoline in your tank.
It'll contaminate it. It weakens. Fear engages the mind.
Yeah.
And when you keep ministering fear to yourself, you're speaking it, you're thinking about it, you're concentrating on cares and worries. You worry all the time. Worry is an extremely bad habit.
That's right.
It is a habit. There are people that are in the habit of worrying, and they should do it all day long without thinking about it, and they don't think anything about it because they don't know it's a sin. But before we get through here, you're going to have the worry habit destroyed.
Hallelujah.
In your life. Glory to God.
Glory
you're
to
going
God.
To be shocked at what it does for your day.
It's the opposite of faith.
Amen. Now, whatsoever is not of faith, the Amplified says, whatever does not originate or proceed from faith. If it originates and proceeds from fear, then it's connected to the devil. Now you can see immediately why it's a sin. Oh, Brother Copeland, I just can't help it. Don't you ever say that out your mouth again. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, I'm going to get on you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way we work here. God gets on me, I get on you. Amen. That's just the way this deal works, you understand? Don't ever say that out your mouth again. Just help me, Lord, with your help and your grace. I will say that again, that I can't help it. Yes, you can. Jairus could have just said, Jesus, I can't help it. My baby just died. It would have been over.
Yep, that's right.
Right then. But now, if J. Iris could do that, then you and I could do it. J. Iris wasn't born again, but he was in the presence of Jesus. It was not being in the presence of Jesus that empowered him to make his decision of life and death to obey Jesus. It was not just being in his presence. Because you born again? Oh, yes, Brother Copeland. And baptized in the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, Brother Copeland. Well, you're in his presence and you're worrying all day long.
That's not good.
So it's not just being in his presence. It was receiving his word. It was making the decision. He said it, and that's what I'm going to do. The moment, let me back up here a second. Anything that Jesus tells you or me or Glory, anybody else, anything he tells us to do, then he does not and never has and never will expect you to do it in your own power. That would be unjust of him. Because he's going to tell you to do things and to say things that you think you can't do. And you can't without him.
That's right.
Amen. Our whole lives are supernatural like that. So anything he tells you to do, that just authorized you to do it. When you agreed to do it, that empowered you to do it.
That's a good way to say it.
Now, I want to make mention of this again, and then we'll take another stage of this. You remember in the middle of the night, between 3 and 4 in the morning, Jesus was walking on the water, and they all saw him, and it scared him. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come." Jesus said, "Come." He stepped out of the boat and headed towards Jesus. The power to walk on that water was in the word come. Yeah. Now, when he said come, that authorized him to do it. Peter did it. It empowered him to do it. What broke his connection? Fear. Fear. Say it. Fear.
Fear.
What he did was a sin.
Opposite of faith.
What he decided to do was a sin. But he cried out, "Lord, save me." Well, of course he did. But the important thing, see, don't let the word sin throw you here. It's not God, I'm not going to save you, you idiot. You should have done what I told you to do. No, that's not God's way. It never has been his way. It never will be his way. When the moment he cried out, "Save me," Jesus caught him. But the important thing is he saw the wind boisterous, being afraid, beginning to sink. When he did that, suddenly separated him from the power in that word.
The waves got his attention.
Yeah, because he's a fisherman. But see, it didn't have anything to do with him walking on the water. Because but his natural carnal mind said, "What are you doing out here, you idiot? Look at these waves." He didn't have that thought. He just reacted to it because it was already there. He'd already been afraid back there in that boat. He's afraid it's all going to die out there in the middle of this storm. So the important thing, here's what I want you to take away from this. Fear immediately separated him from the power that he was walking on.
Yeah.
That's extremely important. Now, at this point, what does not originate or proceed from faith is sin.
Doubt, unbelief.
Worry.
Fear.
Worry.
Worry.
Worry. Worry. Worry. Now let's make, at this point.
And it's a disconnector, all those things.
Yeah, sure. Well, now, by his stripes ye were healed. Oh, yes, Brother Copeland, I know that, and I see that. I want you to see something here. Remember what I said about Bishop Oyedepo saying he had a covenant with God? Mm-hmm. That he has a covenant with Jesus? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you." He said, I have a covenant with Jesus. He said, seek first his mm-hmm. kingdom and his way of doing things, and all these things will be added to me. And he said, I've never worried about finances since. I don't put any taking time away. I have a covenant with Jesus. Amen. I do it his way and seek first his kingdom. He brings all the things in. Well, there's evidence of it.
Yeah, we saw the living proof.
He said, I don't worry about it. I don't ever worry about it. Oh, yeah, my brother, you just don't understand. They're going to repossess my car. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I got to have a car. You think Jesus don't know? Yeah, but I. Shut your yeah, but up. I'm very, very serious about this. Every time you said that was another expression of your doubt, unbelief, and your absolute faith. Absolute faith in the devil's ability to keep you broke and steal your car. And no faith at all in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You start doing that and repent of that sin of doubt and unbelief, particularly when it gets in your mouth. And you repent of that, and you get before Jesus and you say, Lord, I confess this as a sin. You go to 1 John 1:9 and you take that scripture and you read it, and, oh, Jesus, I confess the sin of doubt and worry. I confess the sin of worrying about them coming after my car in the name of Jesus. And your word says you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Praise God.
You're my source. Praise God, you're my source.
Yeah.
Take care. Listen to my words. Take care of this car thing with me. Amen. I'm out ahead of myself. Let's go over there to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, fear brings compromise.
Yes.
I remember when I was a student at ORU, and I remember how this impacted you and me both. Brother Robert's preaching on the fourth man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and the fourth man came.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, Brother Roberts said, by the Spirit of God. And he said it to me. Whatever you compromise to keep, you eventually will lose. Why? The compromise was because of fear.
Yes, that's right.
Now, when we first got hold of that, we first heard that, 1967. I'm traveling with Brother Roberts. I'm watching him use his faith, and I'm listening to him, and we're listening to Brother Hagin's tapes on faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and so forth and so on. And Gloria, I saw it so clearly. It was, I didn't see it with my natural eye, but I saw it with my spiritual eyes. And it was just like this sign up in front of me. Whatever you compromise to keep, you'll eventually lose. And I said, the non-compromised Word of God.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, I said in my word, by my stripes you were healed. And you say, yeah, but God, I'm sick. Now, and when the moment you said that, you chose not to believe
That's
what
right.
he said and chose to
That's
believe
right.
continually that you're sick. You compromised it.
Now, well, we weren't sick at that time, but we were seriously broke. We lived in a little rent house that was condemned after we moved, I think, down by the river.
No, they condemned everything up to it. I think that they may be gone now, but that, the first bunch that they tore down was started with our next door neighbor, and his house was a little bit better than ours, I remember that. But see, we had to do that financially when we were broke.
Yeah, that's right.
We had to start
and needed
there.
Everything. We needed
and we
everything.
We looked at the tithing scriptures and obeyed them. Yeah. Well, we can't tithe. You ain't got any money now. I know it. That's the reason I didn't have any money then. I didn't choose to disobey God. I choose to obey Him.
Right.
If I had to tithe with, and there's been times in offerings and something you take something and put it in the offering container even if you don't have any money. So we don't compromise that word by saying I can't because I'm broke.
That's right.
So I kept seeing that. Don't compromise my word. Take it and it will change the facts and bring it to pass. Why? It is a blood sworn oath promise.
Praise God.
Amen. God swore every word of this. The first covenant He swore to Abraham. The second covenant He swore to Jesus. Amen. And when we made Him Lord, we got into it. And I heard it later when He said, I want this uncompromised word of faith on every available voice because I'm coming.
So yes, He did.
And that's the reason we stepped out there. And we're out of time, so we'll take it up here tomorrow.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.